And in the very first chapter of Luke, and we're not going to go very far, because I do want to get our list out tonight, and I want to go over the list in a little more detail than we have in the past few weeks, especially getting closer to Christmas here. And I started reading this account, and a couple things just seemed to jump off the page at me, in particularly in Luke. Luke's gospel is the man, Christ Jesus. When, and we'll get to this in what we're doing on Sunday morning, but when Nebuchadnezzar looked into the fiery furnace, he said, "I see a likeness like unto the Son of Man," he says. Yes. The Son of Man. Yes. And it was accurate. And that was Jesus in the fiery furnace with those three Jewish believers whose testimony shined. That was Christ that walked in there with them. And here we have in this passage right here, we have Luke starting out the gospel of Luke with a human story, similar to many that we saw in the Old Testament. It's different. Luke is so different in his look at the Christmas story than Matthew is. And we don't even see it in the book of John. But here in Luke, we'll just start in chapter 1, verse 1. It says, "For as much as many as have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us." Notice what he says here. "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order." In other words, he's saying there have been a bunch of guys write down the account of Christ's life. He's referring to the other gospels as well as he writes this. And he says, verse 2, "Even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect, complete, mature understanding, perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus." He's writing this account on the life of Christ to an individual that's now read by thousands and thousands of individuals. I don't know if Luke knew how far this letter would go. And he says here, "that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed." So Theophilus had been instructed in the things of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but Luke wants to nail them down. He wants to put the nails in there. He wants to nail them down. He says that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. And then he says in verse 5, "There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea," and this was Herod the Great, a certain priest named Zacharias." Now, we know that Herod built the temple that was destroyed by the Romans in 70 AD. And although it wasn't Solomon's temple, it was quite the place. It really was. It wasn't the grandeur of Solomon's, but Herod got as close as he possibly could. And everything Herod built, Herod the Great built, was colossal and stupendous. It was. He wanted that to be his legacy. He really did. And he was an Edomite, by the way. An Edomite. Interesting, huh? "So there were in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias." Now, the temple is built, and like I told you before, this is not a time in Jewish history where they are in apostasy. Maybe that's not the right word. They're not worshiping idols. Okay? They're in the temple doing it. Now, they had added to the law, which they never should have done. But they're doing all of that to the utmost. This is the most religious the Jews have ever been, I think, at this point in time. But notice I used the word what? Religious. But there were, in amongst all these people, people who were doing it right. Remember, I've said there's some things we got to get right. We got to keep right. And they were doing it right. And Zacharias was one of them. He's a Levite. He's a priest. He's doing his job in the temple. And it's important to see, when you look at a Jewish name in the Bible, in context to a story about something that's going to happen to them, Google what their name means. That's one good time to use Google. Google what their name means in Hebrew. Okay? Do you know what Zacharias means? Anybody? God remembers. God remembers. Now, if you go back in Old Testament, and I got a few passages here, you can go back to Genesis. You don't have to flip back there for time's sake, but you could go back to Genesis 8:1. And in Genesis 8, think about it now, Genesis 8, where are we? We should just about know. Genesis 8:1, who did God remember after floating in a great big boat for over a year? God remembered Noah. God remembered Noah. It said, and God remembered Noah. And then in Genesis chapter 19 and verse 29, God remembered Abraham. And then in Genesis chapter 30, verse 22, God remembered Rachel, opened her womb. And then in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 19, and I preached a series of messages on Hannah, God remembered Hannah after her prayer, after she left the temple. And the Lord remembered her. And then let's actually turn to a couple of the passages in Psalms. Turn to Psalm 78. And I do have a point. We'll get there. Psalm 78 and verse 39. I'm trying to go back. I'm looking for context, but I could read the whole chapter, and I don't want to do that. Look at verse 35. And they remembered that God was their rock, and the high God their redeemer. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongues, for their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. For he remembered that we are flesh. You better believe it. I can think of a lot of times God could have squashed me. I can actually think of a lot of times where the squashing was imminent and he made it not happen. And I could tell you stories, particularly back when I was a police officer, where that could have happened. It said, for he remembered that they were flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. Look at chapter 98. And verse 3. Let's go to verse 1. I can never just read one verse. O sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of heaven. He hath, what? Remembered his mercy. Not giving us something we deserve. And his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Look at 103. Verse 10. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Because if he did, we would be squashed like a bug. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembers that we're dust. Look at 136. And then we're going to go back to Zacharias. And you'll see how we'll tie this into prayer. Verse 17. To him which smote great kings, for his mercy endureth forever, and slew famous kings, for his mercy endureth forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endureth forever. In other words, what he keeps saying is, these kings were oppressing Israel, and he was giving them something they didn't deserve by getting these kings off the face of the earth. And Og, the king of Bashan, for his mercy endureth forever, and gave their land for inheritance, for his mercy endureth forever, even in heritage unto Israel his servant, for his mercy endureth forever, who remembered us. There's kind of a theme to these rememberings. He remembers just what we're made out of. The dust of the ground, our low estate, our sinful nature. He remembers that. Now, back to Zacharias, Luke chapter 1, verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias. God remembers. Of the course of Abai. Now, let me explain the courses to you. 24 courses. They're shifts. Anybody do shift work? They're shifts in the temple. Okay? 2 weeks a year, Zacharias served in the temple. David set this up. 24 courses, shifts, 2 shifts a year. So, Abai is one of the shifts. Okay? That's his shift. And he's doing his week in the temple here at this point. He says, now, Zacharias, God remembers, of the course of Abai. And his wife was of the daughters of Aaron. And her name was Elizabeth. Her heritage, his heritage as a Levite goes back, and her heritage goes right back to Aaron. These are temple people. These are God people, and their names mean it. In verse 6 it says, and they were both righteous before God in a time where the vipers were thicker than fleas in Israel. Religion was up here, but righteousness was down here. You're like, wait a minute. If they're religious, shouldn't they be righteous? No. They were religious, but they weren't righteous. But this man and his wife were. Notice what it says about them. This is quite the testimony. Walking in 613 commandments. Because the word is all. And that's how many's in Exodus, Numbers, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy. Okay? Walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. This is quite a couple. They're an older couple. They're senior, literal saints. And they had no child. And they had no child. Because that Elizabeth was barren. But you know what the culture was back then? If you can't have a child, there's something wrong with you. Not physically. Spiritually. And that ain't the case, is it? No. I don't care what the culture says. She didn't have a child because it wasn't God's time yet. Young ladies, when it's God's time, it's God's time. I see time and time again in the scripture where they get all out of sorts. When it's God's time, it's God's time. Don't need to be going into these clinics to get this fancy stuff done. Just let God do it. Let God do it. Here, it says that they had no child because Elizabeth was barren and they were both now well stricken in years. Okay? So, she was barren. Now they are beyond the time of childbearing. She has gone beyond the time of women for bearing children. They're well stricken in years. But they were blameless. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, you know what? You know who God uses? He uses people that are doing something for God. Who are at their course. And that doesn't mean you have to go to Africa. That doesn't mean you have to you have to be in full-time Christian ministry to do your course. Each one of you has a course that God has given you. Okay? And you do that as unto the Lord. As unto the Lord. It says, and it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God, in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. There was a boatload of people here. Multitude. Okay? He's doing the incense. Everyone's praying. And there appeared unto him. Now, when he's doing the incense, they don't see him. He's in there. Okay? They can't go in there. Only the priest can go in there where he's burning the incense. So he goes in. He's going to be in there a certain amount of time and he's going to come out. And it says, and the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense, and there appeared unto him the angel of the Lord. An angel of the Lord. I'm sorry. Because this isn't the angel of the Lord. This is an angel of the Lord. An angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled. And fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. Don't answer this question now, because I'm going to catch you and trick you real quick. His prayer was heard. But it's not the prayer he was praying that day. Alright? He's not praying for a child. Why? What'd you say, Mike?
already moved on. He's not praying for a child here. This isn't the prayer he's praying that day. But let me ask you something. Does God ever forget our prayers? All right? So, here we are. He's in there. An angel comes to him and says, "Thy prayer has been heard." And I'm sure right about now, his brain is going a million miles an hour. And he's trying to think, what's going on? What's going on? And the angel says, "And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. This is a special child." Now, he's not Jesus, but he's special. Samuel was special. "And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said unto the angel," how's this going to happen? "For I'm an old man, and my wife is well stricken in years." Mike, you nailed it. He had moved on. He didn't believe. And he forgot what they had prayed for years, which is why he couldn't talk until the baby was named. You see, God is faithful. Even though sometimes we throw in the towel and move on. But God remembered their prayer. He wasn't praying it that day. Because he didn't believe what the angel was saying. If he believed what the angel was saying, he would have been praying it that day. He had moved on. Zacharias had moved on. And here he says, "And Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is way beyond childbearing." And man, I haven't prayed that in a long time. But God remembered. God remembered. God not only remembered, it was answered. And it came to pass. And here he says, "And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel." Notice now, it's not the angel of the Lord, it's an angel. "I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. His shift was over. He went to his home. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men." I just want to show you one passage. Look at Psalms chapter 33. Let's do another one. Do Hebrews 10. Let's go to the New Testament. This applies to our salvation, so that this is a good passage to use in this case. I've got a list of scriptures here, and if you If you do a little bit of searching, you'll find them all. But God is faithful when we are not. You see, this was a righteous, godly man who had prayed for years. It got past the time of childbearing, and he stopped praying, and he moved on. And I'm not saying any of us would have done this. Any of us would have done this. But you know what? Not only did God remember him, but God is faithful. He's faithful. And here in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23, it says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering." In other words, if you're truly born again and there's a doubt comes into your mind, hold fast to your faith. Because God said, "If you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father which is in heaven," and he is faithful. We are not, but he is. You know what? I think he remembers all of our prayers. Matter of fact, I know he remembers all of our prayers, even though we've forgotten a lot of them. We've moved on. We may have lost faith in that area. But if there's one thing I can encourage you with, Zacharias never dreamed when he went into that temple that day that an angel was going to appear to him and say, "Your prayer's been answered." Because God is faithful. Let's pray.